Tasmania Talks with Mike O'Loughlin, weekday mornings from 9.
Now, Leanne McLean, Commissioner for Children and Young People, is on the line. Welcome to the Tasmanian Government's release of the Tasmanian out-of-home care standards, and I'd like to discuss it further. A very good morning to you, Leanne. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Mike. Good morning to you, and good morning to your listeners on a morning where the weather is not so good in any part of the state, it seems.
It's very blustery, isn't it? Good heavens. Tell us first up, I mean, about this out-of-home care standards. You've welcomed it. Tell us, first of all, what it means for Tasmanians.
So standards mean that we expect a level of service delivery, a level of care for every child that is in out-of-home care. And what the standards do is they set that level, and these standards have been recommended for so long, Mike. The previous Commissioner Morrissey recommended them, the Royal Commission into Institutional Responses to Child Sex Abuse then recommended them in 2017. I then recommended them again in 2019, and of course these issues have again been under examination by the Commission of Inquiries here in Tasmania. So to see them finally released is something that we have to welcome. I think we need to ask ourselves why they took so long. I think that's a question that...
That was my next question. Why so long?
Oh, look, I can't answer that, Mike. I can only sort of, you know, give you my opinion that it's evidence that we don't place the needs of highly vulnerable children and the systems that support them high enough in the priority list in Tasmania. And that's something that, you know that I have been pushing for since I've been Commissioner, to bring the needs of children to the centre of our policy and decision making. And other than that, all I can say is I'm so pleased to see them. And as advocate, of course, you're going to expect me to say, and I will say it, but they're not quite enough. We're going to need more than this to end up with the system that the children and young people living within it should have. And by that I mean the standards at the moment have been released. They are effectively a guide for the providers of care in Tasmania at the moment. We don't yet have an accreditation scheme to go with them. They're not going to be regulated in any way yet. The government have committed to that happening, but that will take a couple of more years yet. So my view is they should be legislated standards, and that anybody providing care to a child in out-of-home care in Tasmania, any organisation providing care, should be accredited against these standards, preferably in a way that is independent.
Oh, I can't agree more. What is interesting, and I mean, realistically, I'm pleased the Tasmanian government finally has made a move. I tend to think the Rockliffe government seems to be quite progressive, but there needs to be more improvements, and you're having more further discussions, I believe, with the government.
Yes, that's right. So there's this, and then of course, I mean, we've got to say the Commission of Inquiry that I think is currently underway has certainly provided, more advocacy on top of that commissioners past and present has ever provided in this space. I think it could be called leverage, significant leverage. It shouldn't have been required, but it has been, and that's simply the fact. So the fact that the government are now moving in these areas is excellent. There is a lot more work to be done on how we regulate. In addition to these standards, which relate just to out-of-home care, we need to have standards for organisations to ensure they are child safe. And I think the best analogy there, Mike, is think WorkSafe. When WorkSafe was introduced for the safety of employees across Australia, and we've got that nationally harmonised legislation, there's an independent regulator, an independent investigator. We now need the same thing for child safe. So if you're an organisation who's delivering services to children, how is it that you're ensuring your organisation is child safe? So that is the next step. together with the specific accreditation of out-of-home care providers.
And I really strongly emphasise what you've said too in the media release you've released. You've said it also, the Commissioner's also noted, being you, to realise the quality improvements everyone hopes these standards will achieve, they need to be much more than a guide. And I think we can't say that often enough.
That's exactly right. Their release is very important and it's so welcome, but it's the first step. They need to be far more than a guide. And it's an unfortunate reality that what we know in this space is that education and advice, so providing the guide, is not enough. You need the education, you need the advice, you need to support organisations to be able to shift practice and meet standards. But you also need the other end, which is a regulatory or accreditory function, so that there are real consequences for organisations who are not demonstrating that they are meeting the standards. And that's not something that we have had in Tasmania in relation to out-of-home care, and it's not something more broadly that we've ever had in Tasmania in relation to organisations being child safe. A good analogy, Mike, is when you know, if you're like me and you have a history of dropping your children off at your early childhood education and care provider before you head off to work, many Tasmanian parents do, you drop them off in the knowledge that that is a highly regulated system to ensure that they meet standards of care. The same applies for non-government schools and arguably government schools. But for the out-of-home care sector, we have had no such assurance, no such regulation. And the out-of-home care sector is providing care arguably to some of the most vulnerable children in the state. So it should be there. It absolutely should be.
And Leanne, isn't it a lot of this coming to light, isn't it, after the child abuse and neglect as the revelations of the Commission of Inquiry? That was just so harmful to hear and read. It was just incredible. I know that the Jeremy Rockliffe Premier has pledged to do all he could to help the victims of child abuse and neglect. But I mean, his quote is, the safety of children and young people should not be an expectation but a fundamental human right. And I think we all agree with that.
Well, it is a fundamental human right.
Absolutely.
It's enshrined in the United Nations Convention on the Rights of the Child, and the job of the state, and the job of the Premier in leading the state in that regard is to ensure that we are meeting our obligations. And the standards for out-of-home care, once they are something that is accredited and regulated, will be excellent evidence of how we are meeting our obligations or how we're not. And so from my perspective as an independent monitor of the system, that's also an extremely powerful thing for me. So The past commissioner, was tasked with this job of monitoring the out-of-home care system in Tasmania, and I have certainly undertaken that job. But the question is, monitoring against what? Because we've never had a standard here to monitor against. So we monitor against our wellbeing framework, but now that standards are in place, we'll be able to reconceptualise what we do in relation to those standards, which I think is an exciting step forward for us as well.
Now, part of this, though, which you would be very close to the Commission of Inquiry into Child Sexual Abuse in Institutional Settings, when I read about Ashley, and we need to discuss that, I mean, they heard shocking and horrific evidence about a culture of violence and sexual abuse, with one expert saying he would raise Ashley to the ground if he could. Another detainee said he begged to be sent to an adult prison instead, where the guards were a lot better. What we're hearing has just been amazingly and quite horrendous.
Yeah, we're 2 days in, Mike, we're 2 days into a 7-day suite of hearings. So we have another 5 days of hearings this week. And obviously, yes, I have been present in the hearings on each day. And I'm also preparing to give evidence myself. I think it's really important that we acknowledge the impact of these hearings across the Tasmanian community. Over the course of the last few days, since last Thursday, I have been in contact with people who have played a role in the youth justice system over the course of the last several decades, from a range of areas, who are feeling really terrible about their involvement in a system that may, you know, they didn't realise it was happening at the time, but may have caused extreme harm to children. So this, the ramifications of the commission and the stories that we're hearing are very, very broad. These conversations need to be had in Tasmania.
Oh,
it is time that this occurred, and it's time, well and truly time, that we came up with a set of recommendations to guide our system in an entirely different direction into the future.
Well, thank heavens, people like you are on board and pushing. I mean, the quote, though, when you read more of this, you just understand how horrific it is. And a quote from this young person that was in Ashley: the workers that were abusing me would threaten me that if I did say anything, they'd tell the other boys that I was turning them in, so I'd get bashed, he said. They would also make threats against my family, saying they would smash up my mum's house and burn it. They said no one would believe me anyway because I'm just a little criminal. Incredible, incredible.
It's just heartbreaking, Mike, you know, and there is evidence upon evidence emerging that, you know, children's experiences in the centre have been just terrible. You know, the timeframes around these things are, you know, not necessarily clear to me, depending on, you know, which story that you're hearing. What I know at the moment is that since I've been commissioner, I have visited Ashley personally roughly every 3 weeks. You know, obviously there have been periods of leave that I have, and in that time I've done my absolute best to touch base with every young person who is there and enable them an opportunity to speak to me about anything that might be concerning to them. Then as a result of the closure announcement, I advocated for additional resources and now have a dedicated advocate for young people in detention who has a much larger presence at the facility. And I also continue to visit the facility every 3 weeks, again, giving young people...
You cut out then, Leanne, sorry.
Yes, I'm so sorry about that. Can you hear me now, Mike?
Yeah, gotcha, yep.
Yeah. Again, attempting to give young people an opportunity to speak with the advocate about anything that might be concerning them. So our presence there as an individual independent advocacy service has increased, and I think that's a very good thing. But I think we can still do more in Tasmania. You know, you can't help but ask yourself the question, when we have a regulatory system for child-safe organisations, is our detention facility going to meet the bar for a child-safe organisation? Mm. Are our schools, our, you know, all of the institutions where we care for children in the government sense going to meet the bar to be a child-safe organisation? I don't know the answer to that right now. I suspect at the moment there are significant gaps, and we will need to invest, not only invest, but educate and advise to make sure that everybody understands what their role is in ensuring that their organisation is child safe. And the basis, the fundamental basis of a child safe organisation, Mike, is that children are heard and they are believed. And from what I'm hearing through Commission of Inquiry hearings, whether it be into youth justice detention so far, or out-of-home care, or education, or health. We have a history in Tasmania of not believing.
I'm speaking with Leanne McLean, Commissioner for Children and Young People. Leanne, I need to ask you, too, with this, tell me your thoughts. How do you think the Commission of Inquiry will play out? What's the end result?
Well, I can't tell you because I don't know, but I can tell you my hope, Mike. My hope is that the Commission of Inquiry will do two things broadly. Firstly, it will enable victim survivors to feel heard and to feel that they have contributed to the development of a better system in Tasmania. And I want to acknowledge their extraordinary bravery in coming forward and sharing their history, because it's extremely difficult.
It's incredible reading, let alone for them to actually be there and talk about it. That's very strong.
That's right. Yeah, and the second thing is my hope that the Commission will deliver a set of recommendations to government to carve an entirely different way forward for Tasmania in terms of caring for children and what our expectations are, and that the government will accept them and resource their implementation. And I mean really resource it, not partially resource it, really resource it, because that's going to be a step change, I hope, in Tasmania, in the way we prioritise the safety of children.
Now, with Ashley, do you think its closure is the best answer? I know they're looking at all sorts of things. They haven't quite made an end decision yet. But, I mean, is its closure? I mean, they're looking at, what, three different centres, aren't they, for youth detention?
Yeah, no, the centre should close, and I've been quite open about that. I was one of, I'm sure, many who called for its closure back last year. The centre cannot escape its past, and the harrowing stories of abuse that have been alleged to have occurred there. It is time that we moved on to a different model. And that different model should be, in my view, very, very different. The government are consulting on what youth justice should look like in Tasmania, and I'm very supportive of that process. I have given them my views about all the things that I think are needed to adopt a best practice therapeutic model of youth justice. And if we adopt those, if we think about how we support children who are exhibiting harmful or risky behaviour in the community, how we support them, the need for a detention facility in Tasmania would be very, very, very small indeed. Because when you think about it, the majority of children who are there are not sentenced. They are remanded. And for many of them, they are remanded because it's deemed that that's the safest place for them to be at that time. And that the reason that's the safest place is that there is no other safe place. There is no supported bail accommodation. There are no creative accommodation options for remand. There is no residential drug and alcohol facility for Tasmanian children. There is no dedicated residential mental health facility. These are all things that we can do.
We need to remind people too that not all staff are as bad as some as we probably deem to be portraying here. Some, you know, there's a lot that are absolutely fabulous, doing a great job, and it's probably a very difficult job. But it's what is coming out from this particular inquiry, this commission of inquiry, is quite dreadful. So I tend to think we need another type of detention centre. We do, but maybe not using the words detention.
Maybe not, and it should be integrated into our community and able to access the full suite of therapeutic services. It should be a home-like environment. These are children first, Mike. That's what we need to remember.
Yeah, the kids.
It's very easy in the community to think about these. You know, people get really tied up about these people committing crimes, but they are children first. And I also, before we wind up today, Mike, I think it's very important, the conversation going on in the community and the commission is very, it can be very triggering for a lot of people. And I encourage people who are not feeling okay to contact the range of support services that are available, including Beyond Blue, or contacting Victims of Crime Services or the Sexual Assault Support Services or Lifeline.
Kids Helpline.
And if anybody has concerns ever about the safety and well-being of a child, they need to contact the Strong Families Safe Kids Advice and Referral Line. It's very important.
And Leanne, just to finish off, a conversation I think needs to be had on Australian children. I was reading as young as five are being admitted to hospital for eating disorders, according to this new data. And you probably read that. The number of kids aged five with three early onset disorders has doubled in just over 10 years. Reports of children avoiding food, being preoccupied with their weight and having distorted view of their body size. In a two-year period, 184 children were diagnosed with eating disorders, and both boys and girls admitted to hospital at an average age of 11.
Yeah, it's really incredibly concerning, Mike. Tasmania did receive quite a large amount of funding from the federal government a couple of years ago to establish a dedicated eating disorder unit in Tasmania. My understanding is that plans for that establishment are underway and a part of our broader reform process about supporting young people with mental health conditions. I think more broadly as a society, we've really got to take heed of that data and think about the world that our children are living and operating in, and how we as adults can help to influence their view of that world. They are surrounded by media in the form, largely these days, of social media,
yep.
of unrealistic expectations of their bodies and what they should look like. And that can then be continue to be perpetuated within the communities that they're living in. And I think as adults, mm. as parents in particular, we play a very key role, not only in their access to that information, but in encouraging discussions from a very early age about healthy body image. Very, very important.
This study that I was reading, it shows half of these children with early onset eating disorders were anxious, 15% were depressed, and 36% had a history of family psychiatric illness. And then you've got, as you've touched on, those influences on social media. I mean, yeah. you know, just what they're putting into their bodies, what they're doing, and what it's necessary to achieve. Oh, this is how good you can look. Not yeah. dreadful.
It's incredibly concerning, and my heart goes out to these children. It also goes out to the families of these children who are, yeah. in many cases, doing their absolute best to try and support them through what is an extremely complex mental health journey. My understanding of that as an advocate is that it is just so, so difficult. So the sooner we can get better support in place in Tasmania, specifically around eating disorders, the better.
Can't agree more. I appreciate having a chat to you. I really do. Leanne McLean, Commissioner for Children and Young People. I'm sure we'll have a chat again in the near future. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Mike. And I just encourage everybody out there to take care this week in the face of the Commission of Inquiry. People should really do their best to take care.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And if you've had some issues and you know anyone that needs a bit of help, don't forget Lifeline 13 11 14. Kids Helpline, 1-800-551-800. There's even Men's Line Australia, 1-300-789-978. There's a list of numbers. If you need help, please ask. It's Tasmania Talks.
Tasmania Talks with Mike O'Loughlin, weekday mornings from 9.